Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Wednesday of the sixth Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God.
I think many of us have become so wealthy in terms of worldly possessions that it's difficult for us to hear the teachings of Jesus properly. I say this as someone who makes about an average American salary, has six kids, and yet is one who considers himself to be among the rich of this world, even in terms of material possessions. I prefer to measure myself not just by those who have more than me, but by the billions who have less and have fewer opportunities to obtain more. Jesus' answer this morning is provocative as usual. He warns us to beware of covetousness, because our lives do not consist in our material possessions. I find it interesting that one of the Ten Commandments, which we all say we wish the government would keep on the walls of their buildings, is the commandment not to covet. Most of the other Ten Commandments seem to be about something we say or actually do, but the commandment against coveting strikes at the very heart of things because it strikes, well, at our hearts. Actually, another word for covetousness in this passage is the word greed. This raises the bar even higher, for while covetousness may be construed to mean, I want what that other person has, and maybe we're not guilty of that, we understand exactly what greed means, and greed hits close to home. As provocative as Jesus' answer is, I don't think we fully appreciated it. Jesus wasn't simply teaching in general about greed and coveting. He was answering a particular question that some guy from the audience shouted out, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. To which we might all say, Amen. After all, this is a matter of justice, and the brother should certainly rightly divide the inheritance with his other brother. True enough, but Jesus' answer to him, seen in its context, shocks us. Instead of talking about justice and fairness, Jesus talks about greed. Jesus is hardcore about greed, but he's not the only one. St. Paul considers it a form of idolatry, since we are putting mammon, material wealth, in the place of God. Ephesians 5:5 and Colossians 3:5. Tucked in among the list of people we expect not to inherit the kingdom of heaven, fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, and thieves, Paul also says that the covetous will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10. The church fathers were just as radical on this. Cyril of Alexandria wrote, He showed us that covetousness is a pitfall of the devil and hateful to God. The wise Paul even calls it idolatry, perhaps as being suitable for only those who do not know God, or as being equal in the balance with the defilement of those people who choose to serve sticks and stones. It is a snare of evil spirits by which they drag down a person's soul to the nets of hell. St. Augustine said, Greed wants to divide, just as love desires to gather. What is the significance of guard against all greed unless it is fill yourselves with love? We, possessing love for our portion, inconvenience the Lord because of our brother, just as that man did against his brother, but we do not use the same plea. He said, Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. We say, Master, tell my brother that he may have my inheritance. Ambrose, Augustine's teacher, adds, The things that are of the world remain in the world, and whatever riches we gather are bequeathed to our heirs. The things that we cannot take away with us are not ours either. Only virtue is the companion of the dead. Compassion alone follows us. It is the guide to the heavens and the first of the mansions. Do we believe these things? While God certainly allows us to use and delight in the kindly fruits of the earth and our labor, how much is enough? At what point does that extra item in our collection constitute greed? I don't know. But I do know we should all ask ourselves the question. This is dangerous business, though. Last time I meditated on this, I signed the family up to support a 10-year-old Ugandan boy named Batiti for $35 a month. At what point do I really need the new car when compared to how else I might use the money for God's kingdom? At what point do I really need, and not just want, the new computer, cell phone, house, speakers, entertainment center, camera, TV, etc., etc.? American consumer culture is advertising and enticing you with things 24/7. Unless you set your heart to be content with less, and to put your trust and take your delight in God, you don't stand a chance against the seductions of the world. So much have we all been sucked up into this world that we can't necessarily even measure ourselves against ourselves, because we can always find someone wealthier or greedier, which, by the way, are not necessarily connected. So how can we escape this grave temptation? One measure of whether or not we have fallen into greed is to meditate on what we spend our time thinking about. Do you dream and labor so that you can build your bigger barns and accumulate more wealth and possessions? Do you feel secure because of your possessions, rather than because God cares for you? Do you find yourself comparing what you have with what others have? Does it ever bother you that others have more than you do? Do you complain that you don't have enough? Do possessions and money become a source of contention in your life? God did not make me the judge or arbiter over you, thank God, but you are accountable before God for your use as a steward of His good gifts to you. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio, Radio in the Anglican Way.